before the book of Revelation at the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4. We're just going to read one verse as we start this morning. And a very familiar verse, I believe. 1 John chapter 4. And verse number 19. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 19. A very short verse, but a very deep and meaningful verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says simply this: we love Him because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. I want to preach a message this morning I've entitled, The Emotions of God. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for this place that we have to gather. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is truly the reason for our gathering here now. Father, we're thankful that it pleased You to bruise Him on Calvary's cross because He was paying the payment for our sin. And Father, without that payment, we would be lost and on our way to hell. We're so thankful this morning for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us 2,000 years ago. Lord, now that we're saved, we want to please You in every area of our life. God, I pray You give direction in the message this morning. Father, this is the thought, the train that You've led me on, and I believe that, Father, You've got someone in mind this morning. Lord, maybe more than one folk in mind. And I pray, God, You'd speak to hearts as only You can. We pray, first of all, that everyone under the sound of my voice knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, that they have made a commitment to Him in their life. And Father, now having made that commitment, we're in a position where You can bless us and use us. We pray if there's someone here today that's never trusted Christ as their Savior, never given their heart and life to Him, that Father, You'd speak to that heart, especially, Lord, as we think of Your great love, that Father, they would understand and comprehend that love and come to Christ by faith. Lord, use the Word of God to teach us, use it to comfort us, use it to convict and challenge us according to our need today. And for that which You do, we'll give You the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We love Him because He first loved us. We have all experienced love. In one degree to another, at one time or another, we've all experienced the emotion of love. It begins when we're children, and we have that love for our parents. It continues on till we develop and have a love for one of the opposite sex. And then it develops as we get older and we get married and we have our own children. And that love just continues to blossom and to grow for not only our children but our grandchildren. Where did we get the capability to have that kind of love? Is it in and of ourselves that we have that power and ability to love? Is this emotion of love, this deep emotion, is it just a random result of the evolutionary process? There's something within us that makes that capability? How about the other emotions like joy and happiness and laughter? Are these emotions all the result of our bodies releasing endorphins or some chemical inside of us that just produces itself and gives us these positive feelings? If so, then how do we explain the other feelings like grief and anger and hatred? Can we all agree this morning that you and I as human beings are creatures of emotion? And in one day we can go the whole gamut from one emotion to another. By the circumstances that happen in our life, by the things that occur around us, our emotions can many times be controlled by something outside of ourselves. Where did we get this ability? Where did we get this power to have such strong emotional pull? I'd invite you to look back, if you would, back to Genesis chapter 1, to a very well-known and familiar verse, but I want us to try to look at it in light of what we're thinking this morning. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. And the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, again, you know this biblical truth. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. He says in verse number 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. The Bible teaches us that we are created in the image of God. We understand that means that physically our bodies are fashioned like after the body of God. In other words, when God got the dirt together on the ground in Genesis chapter 2 and He breathed into it the breath of life, that creation, that human form or that form stood up on its feet immediately and automatically and began to walk. The biblical teaching of creation is so contrary to the popular teaching of evolution as it's presented today. Man is a direct creation of God. And God in the garden simply put the ground together. Adam's name means kind of red clay. He put the ground together and He breathed into it. God breathed into it. And the instant that He did, that man stood up on his feet and began to walk in a normal gait just like you and I have today. So we know that when God created man in His own image, what He's talking about is the physical body. When Jesus Christ came and took upon Himself the form of a servant, He put on a body just like ours that was created in the image of God. So we understand that Genesis 1, 20, 26 and 27 is talking about the physical body. But we also understand that it goes farther than that. Because as God is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, so creating us in His own image, He made us body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 23. I pray God your whole body, soul, and spirit be set apart or sanctified to the day of the Lord's coming. He talks about the three parts of our body. We're not one, we're three. Body, soul, and spirit. And we're three because God is three. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So we are created in the image of our God. Now when we study the separate parts of that creation, the body, which we understand, the soul and the spirit, we understand that not only is it our tripartite being, but our intellect and our emotions have been created by God. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. That when we talk about God and being made in His image, we're made in the image of an infallible God who had emotions. And we are created in that image. The emotions we have are not just a result of our human nature, not the result of our surroundings or anything around us. But the thing that separates us from the animal world is that we have a body, soul, and spirit which gives us the capabilities of feelings, of intellect, and of emotion. In other words, we have emotions because our Creator has emotions. We have emotions because God has emotions. Does that surprise you this morning? That our emotions are a result of being created in a God who has emotions? We've heard about the attributes of God. But this morning I want us to take some time just to think not about the attributes, but about the emotions of God. We're going to take some time right now to look at these emotions, and we're not going to have time to turn all to all of them in Scripture because there is a very long list of what the Bible ascribes to God as far as different emotions are concerned. But maybe you might want to write the words down, the references down, and we'll see what this means for us at the end. We're going to take some time to look at these emotions, and there's a direction we're going as we consider this. Let's start with the easy ones. The one we've already mentioned, love. The Bible says we love God because He first loved us. I don't think we have a problem with understanding that God has that emotion. Some references you might jot down would be 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, where the Bible says simply in three words, God is love. The Bible says that he that knoweth not God knoweth not love because God is love. So God has the capability, unquestioned, of love. John chapter 3, verse 16 is a verse we can all quote and recite. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The basis for God giving His Son so that we can be saved is that God so loved the world. We have no problem with God's love. There's probably not a church, not a preacher, not a question around that would question the love of God. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3 in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3 says this. God says to the nation of Israel, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. So we have no problem this morning, and I've just chosen a few verses because there are so many. We have no problem with understanding that our God is a God of love. He has that emotion. Let's think of a second one. The second one I've got listed, again out of so many we could look at, is compassion. Love and compassion are not the same thing. Compassion is showing that love. Sometimes the Bible uses the word pitieth. The Lord pitieth those that love Him. By pity, it doesn't mean He looks down His nose at them, but He has compassion toward them. Romans chapter 9 and verse number 15. The Bible says that God said to Moses in Romans 9:15, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the love of God, and I'm also thankful for the compassion of God. It's the love of God that saved me. It's the compassion of God that sustains me. God's compassion. Surely if God were to look at you and I that are redeemed, you and I that are saved this morning, and in His justice look at our actions, and look at our thought life many times, and look at our behavior, He would have every reason to cast us off. But because of His compassion, the Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, His compassions fail not. Just like His mercies are new every morning, His compassions fail not. Our God is a God of compassion. So love, compassion. Let's move on. Number three, joy. I'm going to use two words because they're similar, joy and rejoicing. Do you know that our God has the capabilities? Our God has things that give Him joy. Our God has things that cause rejoicing. Zephaniah, there's a unusual book in the Bible, Zephaniah. Not Zechariah, those two are very close together, separated by one book, but in Zephaniah, in the minor prophets of the Old Testament, in chapter 3 and verse 17, these two words, joy and rejoicing, are used together in the same verse. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17, the Lord thy God, He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will joy over thee with singing. According to the Scriptures, there are things that cause God to rejoice. Things that cause God to have joy. I think sometimes we fail to comprehend that our God is a God of emotions. He has love. He has compassion. He has joy and rejoicing. And His joy and rejoicing come from you and I. We do the things that bring God joy and rejoicing. He says, I will rejoice over thee with joy. I like this one, and it's an unusual one. Number four, one of the emotions of God, and you might question whether this is an emotion, but it definitely stems from an emotion, and that's laughter. Did you know that God laughs? There are at least three passages in the Scripture. Two of them, Psalm 37, verse 13, said, the Lord shall laugh. And then in Psalm chapter 2, verse 4, Psalm 2, 4, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Now, we're not doing a study of God's laughter this morning because that would kind of take us off the path of what we're looking at, but I simply want you and I to understand this morning, there are things that even cause God the emotion of laughter. You know, when you meet somebody that's an unbeliever, that's lost in their sins and is antagonistic toward God, and they laugh, you know what you can say? You're just like God. Because God laughs, And the reason you laugh is because you're created in God's image. That'll take the laughter away pretty quick. Those that are atheistic or agnostic, would you tell them that they're, by their very emotions, they are showing they're a creation of God? Where did that capability come from? Where did that thing that produces the laughter? It comes because we're created in the image of a God who has emotions, like love and compassion, like joy and rejoicing, like laughter. Number 5. And there's only 326 of these, so don't worry. Number 5. There probably are, but we're not going to look at that many. Number 5, delight. Delight. In Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 4. The Bible says, "The Lord delighteth in thee." We bring the Lord joy. We bring Him delight. We cause Him to rejoice because He is a God of emotions. And at times He shows these emotions. And because we are created in His image, we have these emotions. Follow along with these thoughts with me because it gets a little dark right now. Let's go on to number 6. Jealousy. Jealousy. Oh, we like talking about the love, the compassion, the delight, the laughter. But God also has the capability, or God has the emotion of jealousy. This is mentioned several times in Scripture. Again, I won't go through all the references, but two of them. One is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. This is given in the context of the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image," He says, "because I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. We can bring delight to God. We can bring joy. We can bring rejoicing. We can bring laughter to God, or we can cause jealousy when we go after other gods, when He's not first in our life. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind." Whenever anything else comes first before God, He's a jealous God. Another verse that describes God's jealousy is Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 19. Here Joshua says, "He is an holy God. He is a jealous God." When you look at the God of your life, do you see a God of love, a God of delight, a God of laughter, a God of joy? Or do you see a God that's jealous because of the conduct, the way that we live our life? He's not first. We claim to be His children. We claim that He's our God, but so many other things in our life come before He does. God has the emotion of jealousy. Number 7. Again, going down, I don't want to call that dark side because there's no dark side with God. But these emotions that we would describe as not the positive ones, I guess. God has the emotion of grief. God can be grieved. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 6, back during the days of Noah, when God looked at the world in that time, and you know how God felt about it, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6, "It repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart." It grieved Him at His heart. When God looked at the conduct of men in Noah's day, His heart was grieved. Did you know that we as human beings can grieve the heart of our very Creator? That He has the capability of being grieved? In Psalm chapter 78 and verse 40, along this same thought of grief, Psalm chapter 78 and verse 40, the Bible says, of the nation of Israel, that they provoked Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. We read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 about those that were wandering through the wilderness, that they were murmuring and complaining against the provision of God in their life. when God was sustaining them for that, for those 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, the shoes on their feet did not wear out for 40 years. When they got thirsty, they got water from a rock. When they got hungry, they got manna from heaven. And yet, no matter how much God did for them, they still found reason to complain, and it grieved God. It's so easy for you and I to look at those children of Israel wandering through the wilderness. They'd just been delivered from Egypt. God had just come by miraculous signs and wonders and brought them out of the land of their bondage. He was leading them across the Red Sea. He was taking them to the land flowing with milk and honey. And in spite of all of God's blessings, they murmured and they complained. You know what they are? They're our ancestors. You know how we know that? Because we're just like them. And God does this, and He does this, and He does this that are positive in our life, and we complain about the one He didn't do yet. We have a predisposition to complain, and when we do, God is grieved. Isn't that an amazing thing that we can grieve our Creator? He has that emotion. Number 8. Anger. Did you know that God gets angry? He gets jealous. He can be grieved. And He can get angry. I think it was said of the Incredible Hulk. He said one time, "You wouldn't like me when I get angry." You know what David said one time? "Lord, chastise me, but not in thy anger, lest I come to nothing." I'm thankful, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because this is where we're going. God has emotions. God has anger. But thank God it's a controlled anger. He never reacts out of anger. But He does have that capability. And He does have that emotion. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 7 and verse number 11, God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. You know, folks talk about the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. And there's no more false teaching that's ever been perpetuated on common man. Is to think that we're all brothers in the human race and that God is our Father. The Bible says in Galatians, we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The world is not filled with children of God. The world is filled with creation of God. But we become children of God by faith. And for the rest of the world that's out there, the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Aren't you glad that God's anger is long-suffering? There's a quality we're not even going to look at, patience. It's not even on my list of the 320 I've got right here. But God's also long-suffering. He's patient. That's the only way we can understand His anger. But God is capable of anger. I don't want to make God angry. I don't want to make my Heavenly Father angry at me. But He can be angered by our actions. And then, believe it or not, this is the last one we're going to look at this morning. Number 9. After we see His delight and then His jealousy, His grief and His anger, God has the emotion of hatred. Does that shock you that God can have hate? Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. There's no mistaking it. There are things that God hates. You say, what are those six things, preacher? Well, we're not going to take the time to go to Proverbs 6 this morning. That's not our lesson. But I wonder how many of those six things you and I are guilty of committing. Even though we know those six things God hates. In fact, it goes on to say, yea, seven. There's seven. And it says that they are an abomination to Him. So our God, you know, and here's where folks lose this. There's those that talk about the love of God and the compassion of God and the joy and the rejoicing and the laughter of God, the delight of God, but they don't get a well-balanced picture because they don't look at the jealousy, the grief, the anger, and the hatred of God. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 5 in this thing of hatred. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 5, the Bible says about God, Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. When you look out at the world right now, you understand this, that God loved them so much that He gave His only begotten Son 2,000 years ago to die for their sins. But right now, when He looks at an unsaved person, He looks with anger because they rejected His Son. He looks with hatred at all the workers of iniquity. You understand, one of these days, the book of Revelation tells us that the heavens are going to melt with a fervent heat. That's because God's anger is allowed to boil over at that point in time. Our God, Hebrews says, is a consuming fire. So we have all these descriptions of a God that has the gamut of emotions. From what we would call the good and the happy feelings all the way to the other one, God is capable of all those emotions. And what we need to understand is because God is a God of emotion, we are creatures of emotion. You say, preacher, what are you telling me? I can blame God every time I cry? As long as you thank God every time you laugh. Understand your emotions are a direct creation of God. Again, that separates us from the animal world. Now, you might think that they have intellect. You might think that they cry and that. They'll react when they feel pain and all that. But you and I, as a direct creation of God, have a full gamut of all kinds of emotions. And we're capable of all these different feelings. Now, the ones I just gave you are basically the descriptions of the God of the Old Testament. Now, I'm not trying to separate that from the New Testament, but let's move a little farther. And let's look into the New Testament and we see God in a human body, the Lord Jesus Christ. And setting aside the attributes or the emotions we've already seen of God the Father, let's look at God the Son while He was here on the earth and the emotions that He experienced. We'll not give the references, but let me just give you an idea of the things that were said about Jesus Christ, God in a human body. God who made us and fashioned us like Him, then came down, fashioned like us. And His name was the Son of God. And when the Son of God was here, He had that full range of emotion like God the Father did. Only now, He's down here. You know how the Bible describes the Lord Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry? Oh, we want to talk about the miracles. We want to talk about the teachings, the Sermon on the Mount. We want to talk about the Mount of Transfiguration. All the wonderful, all His great love, His compassion on raising the sick and healing all these different folks. But you know what the Bible says about Jesus? The first glimpse we get of Him back in the book of Isaiah says that when He comes, He'll be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You see, when that God up there came and lived down here, when He was up there, it was one thing. When He was down here, He was subject to us as far as humanity is concerned. He was subject to humanity. It was humanity that grieved Him. It was humanity that betrayed Him. It was humanity that delivered Him to be crucified. And so the Bible describes Him as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We read in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ about Him facing disappointment. Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. Judas, betrayest thou thy friend with a kiss? The Lord Jesus Christ knew what disappointment was like. He knew what sadness was like. He knew what the feelings of rejection were. Solitude, loneliness. If there's any emotion you've ever experienced, God has experienced it already. He's acquainted with our griefs. He's familiar with our loneliness and our sorrow. He knows what it's like to be betrayed by a friend. He knows those feelings. And really, this is the blessed part of it, is it not? That we don't serve a God and love a God that's without emotion and without feelings, but in all points was tempted like we are, yet without sin. He's experienced everything we can possibly ever experience. God's already been through it. And He knows how to deal with it. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He was here on earth, wept. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. He cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus, God in a human body, had the gamut of these emotions. He was created, he was given a body just like our body. And He had all the emotions of God and of man. So here's the question. What emotions do you experience that you think God does not understand? What is it that we go through? I mean, our highs and our lows. What is it that we go through that we think, God, you just can't help me now? God, you don't understand what I'm going through. Can I tell you, not on the intellectual side and not on the physical side, but on the emotional side, God knows all about it. He does understand what we're going through. He does understand how we feel. And here's the thing. Just as God wants us to give Him our bodies, all right, the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. He wants our bodies. He wants our heart. Son, give me thine heart. He wants our mind and our intellect. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So He wants our emotions. We have emotions because God has emotions. I don't know about you, but that comforts me. No matter what happens to me, no matter what I go through, no matter what emotional roller coaster. Now, let's be honest. Some folks have a faster moving roller coaster than others. They're up here, and then they're down there, and then they're up here, and then they're down there. And we try to at least balance that thing out so it's not so drastic. Try to even it out, make the highs and lows a little bit better. But we all go through these challenges in life. And so many times we are affected by our emotions. I don't know if it's a scientific term, but they say this. He made decisions that were clouded by emotion. We let our emotions cloud our thoughts. We think, don't go to a grocery store when you're hungry. Have you ever done that? You ever seen the grocery bill when you were done? Don't make decisions when you're angry. I would say this, don't make decisions when you're happy. Well, then I'm never going to make a decision. I can't make it happy if I can't. No, we need to balance out our emotions because we have a God. And now here's the whole crux of this. And I'll be honest with you, I told my wife, I've struggled with this message. God laid it on my heart this week. But I struggled with the direction I wanted to go. We're created in the image of God, that God has these emotions, so we have these emotions because God does. But the thing we need to remember is that God has control and balance of those emotions. We can talk about God having anger and hatred, but it's not like when we have anger and hatred, because God is a controlled anger. Ours usually is not. Ours usually means we fly off the cuff. Ours usually means we say things we wish we could take back. But God doesn't have that kind. He's got a controlled, managed emotion. And so you and I, being made in the image of God, the blessing is that when we struggle with these emotions, as all of us do from time to time, when we struggle, we know where to go. We know where to turn. We know who cares and who listens. And we know who made the very capabilities we have of having these emotions. God never struggles with His emotions. God never has trouble with the balancing of them. And the managing of our emotions is critical to our spiritual life. If you get nothing else this morning, think of these two. Number one, God has emotions, and so because we're created in His image, we have emotions. That makes them a positive thing. Anything that we get from God is a positive thing. And there are times to weep, and there are times to mourn. There are times for rejoicing, and there are times for anger. The Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ when He walked into that temple and saw the money changers in there corrupting the worship center of God, that Jesus looked around upon them with anger. The Bible tells us in the writings of Paul, "Be ye angry and sin not." Now there's the catch. You can be angry. You can have righteous indignation. You can be angry for the right reason. But what you do with that anger is what the problem is. God always has controlled anger. You know, even when God has to utter those fateful words to that lost sinner that stands before Him, "Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Sometimes we want to portray God speaking those words in an act of vengeance and an act of anger. But I can't help but think that even when He pronounces those words, He does it with a broken heart. Because that's a creation of God. That's someone that He formed and made in His own image with His own intellect and emotions, and was designed to serve God and to please God, and yet he's defiled His purpose, and now God has to cast him into the lake of fire for eternity, but with no pleasure or no joy in it, and God weeps. And God faces disappointment, just like you and I do. We all have these times when we are controlled by our emotions. If we can't control or manage our emotions, we will struggle spiritually. Have you ever been there? That's why the Bible says in the passing of a loved one that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. Now it doesn't say when you lose a loved one that you don't sorrow. It says you sorrow not as others which have no hope. God understands the loss. God understands the sorrow. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But how we control and manage our emotions determine our spiritual condition. When we find these emotions taking over, we have a God that understands. We have a God that cares. He tells us, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I want you to look at one verse and we'll close here. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5. Paul says in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God," notice this, "and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's our thoughts that produce our emotions. It's what we think about that makes us happy or makes us angry. And God tells us to bring every one of those things into subjection, into the obedience of God. You and I, as creations of God, have been made in His image. We can run the gamut from laughter and delight and happiness to jealousy and anger and wrath. And there's nothing wrong with those things in the right place at the right time. Our problem is we're not God. And our problem is many times we're putting those in the wrong place. And even when we face some of those, we're exaggerating them or putting them in a wrong perspective. And we need to bring all of that into subjection to the obedience of Christ. I am thankful this morning that the God who has emotion is the God of our emotions and can instruct us on how to maintain and to manage and to keep those emotions because they were given to us by God. Don't ever try to restrict your emotions, but restrict the result of those emotions. That's where God's perfect and we're not. We love Him because He first loved us. Aren't you glad God, some folks say, well, you know, if God's got a will, why didn't He just make us do His will and we all walk around as robots? God wants me to do this, so I do this. And God doesn't want me to do that, so I don't. Why didn't He just make us robots? Well, because God wanted us to love Him like He loves us. God wanted us to experience joy and happiness. He wanted us to be angry at some things. He wanted us to grieve over something. The whole question is whether we get angry and grieve over the right things like God does. But you and I need to thank God every day that we're created in His image and we have these. Have you ever met somebody that you say he or she is emotionless? That's not a good place to be. When your emotions are shot, when they're gone, you're without hope. Thank God we are creatures of emotion who have a God that has emotion. And now we just need to yield our emotions to Him so that our highs don't get too high and our lows don't get so low, but we can be emotionally stable because we have a God who is without a doubt emotionally stable. He is the God of our emotions. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You know, I can't help but think we are here this morning